This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome into another edition of Evan and Tiki. Very, very busy show. A true examination on what the Knicks can actually do at the trade deadline. The Kansas City Chiefs have to answer a lot of questions around the narrative that the officials helped them, and a lot of blowback on Sean Morash and Tommy Lugau and even me for some of the things we said on yesterday's show. We will address it later. Now, I know that there are going to be some Giant fans that are going to accuse me of starting a civil war again. I am not. I'm giving an honest IFO opinion on this anniversary of the Giants beating the Patriots for the second time in the Super Bowl. As you may have heard in Marco's update, tomorrow night we're going to find out if Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer or not. I know that's been a very popular debate around these words for a long time. Hall of Famer, not a Hall of Famer, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to give you a very simple opinion. And it's very interesting to get the perspective of one Tiki Barber, who played and played for the guys I'm about to mention, and that of Sean and Tommy, who are diehard Giant fans. I'm just an innocent IFO. I'm just stating an opinion. But to me, Tom Coughlin deserves more credit than even Eli Manning for the great success that the Giants had in the mid-2000s. And so Eli Manning getting into the Hall of Fame tomorrow night, fine. But there feels something empty about Tom Coughlin not being there first.
Yeah.
Am I crazy, Tate?
No, you're not crazy. And the fact that Tom just keeps getting looked over for that honor, because technically coaches have to be inducted as contributors. Mm. And so it's a different committee than the nominating committee that puts in, you know, my brother and everybody else that's gone in over the last couple of years. But it almost feels like the coach, unless you are like Bill Belichick, who had seven or six Super Bowls, or actually really eight if you count the two with the New York Giants, and was beyond a doubt a Hall of Fame coach, and he'll probably get in next year right, when he's eligible after 2 years out of the league. The coaches kind of get screwed.
Mm.
They really do. Because you can think about the two that just recently got in, the most recent coaches that got in, Coach Cower and who was the other one? It was two of them that went in right around that time. It was because of the pandemic.
Right.
Right? It was, oh, we didn't hold a Hall of Fame ceremony. Let's do this extra dive and let some more people in because we missed one and coaches got extra representation. Bill Cowher is a Hall of Fame head coach.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it. I don't know if he would have gotten in because of the way that the process works for coaches. And we talked about it yesterday. Assistant coaches have no chance of getting in.
They're not even considered.
But the fact that Tom Coughlin doesn't get the love from the Hall of Fame that he deserves for turning around two franchises. One was the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two, the Giants didn't need really turning around, but they needed that extra step to get to championship viability. And he did it and won two championships. And so the fact that he's not even in the conversation is frustrating to anybody who played for him.
Well, and also, this is one of those things, and this happened to me yesterday when I was talking about Juan Soto being better than Francisco Lindor. Mm. That's not a knock on Francisco Lindor. I'm just merely saying Juan Soto is better. When I look at what Eli did here and I look at what Coach Coughlin did here,
yeah.
I put Tom Coughlin, call me crazy, I put him ahead of Eli Manning. I got to tell you, bro.
But the credit always will belong to the man in the arena, so to speak. And Eli did it. Let's face it.
So did Tom.
I know he did.
He was fired 10 times.
But it's less tangible. It's less discussable what Tom Coughlin did versus what Eli did. We could look at the playoff run in 2007. We can look at this Super Bowl in 2011, and you beat one of the greatest teams twice, the dynasty of that generation. You beat them twice, and you saw Eli exceptional in those moments. So how can you not recognize
Eli? I do recognize it. Absolutely.
And it's a great story. It's like one of those narratives that I honestly used to hate, but now I'm starting to understand it because I'm understanding what the Hall of Fame actually is. It's a museum to tell the stories of greatness that happened in this league. And can you tell the story of the NFL without Eli Manning? The answer is no.
Can you tell the story of the NFL without Tom Coughlin?
Yes.
He coached the two teams that you're talking about.
But nobody talks about the coaching. People talk about the players.
We talk about Bill Belichick.
Of course, because Bill Belichick felt like he had his hands on all of it.
Right.
Like Bill Belichick, the Rams Super Bowl, whichever one that was, the lowest scoring Super Bowl in Super Bowl history, where it was, what was that, 10-3 or 13-3?
It was after the 2018 season,
right,
yes.
13-3, yep. I think, was the final of that game. Right. That was purely defensive schemed. We're going to grind this thing out. We're going to take the air out of the ball. We're going to slow it down and run the hell out of the clock. And we're going to beat a team that was one of the highest scoring teams in NFL history by not letting them do what they do.
Right.
That was clearly coaching.
Right.
Just like Spags. When we watch Spags dismantle team after team after team in the postseasons, and obviously in the regular seasons, but in the postseasons as well, when the teams are better, and then Super Bowls and two consecutive and three overall, really four overall if you count the one with the New York Giants. It's just like you can see sometimes defensive coaching. It's hard to see he's the figurehead. He brings the discipline. He brings the culture. And that's what Tom did.
And he also brought the winning. I mean, he was the coach of a team that won two Super Bowls.
I understand.
He was the coach of the quarterback that may get enshrined tomorrow night, or at least announced that he's getting enshrined.
You're right.
Like, that matters. He also comes from an offensive background. So you tell me, doesn't he deserve some credit for developing Eli Manning? Like, maybe a little bit? Maybe a little bit. Maybe a tiny bit.
I can only speak from personal experience.
Right.
Tom Coughlin forced accountability. The reason I became I was a very good player before he got there with Jim Fossil and Sean Payton and all those guys, right? I didn't become a great player until Tom Coughlin forced the little things.
Mm.
And it's marginal, but those marginal differences make an enormous impact on day in and day out success and failure. So Tom Coughlin is absolutely responsible for that. When you think about what wins a game, it's, all right, did you call the right play in that situation? Tom's not calling plays, right? Did you bring the right zone blitz or zone dog or pressure package or whatever it may be? Tom didn't call any of those. And so he's responsible for creating the environment for this success. But when it actually came down to performing on a Sunday, Tom wasn't doing that. That was Eli.
So who do you
give? That was Strahan.
So I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm going to do it anyway. Who do you give more credit to? Tom or Eli? I'm putting my flag in the sand. To me, it's Tom Coughlin. I'll take whatever slings the Giant fan wants to give me. It's not a knock on Eli. It's Tom Coughlin.
For the Super Bowls?
For the multiple Super Bowl championships.
Eli was the Super Bowl MVP twice.
And Tom was
how do you not give the credit to the quarterback?
Tom was the coach.
I understand that.
Like, that doesn't matter now?
Okay, but what makes great coaches? Great players.
And what makes great players?
Rising to the occasion.
No, I'd argue that a lot of great players, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, who we're all talking about as the GOAT, or Tom Brady, who was talked about as the GOAT, who coached them?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Who coached them?
Pat Mahomes is...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is a little bit different because a lot of the stuff he does is not coachable, right? Maybe he practices that stuff, but you can't coach somebody to do the things that he does on the football field, right? The improvisation, the I'm keeping this play alive, and as soon as I see a window, I'm making that. You're not teaching that. That's just him being a superior, above the X's and O's ball player. I'm talking about Pat Mahomes now. Maybe Tom Brady had that coach in him a little bit because it was so much of just execute, 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 execute. Don't make mistakes. Execute, 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 and then you win that way, and you win like very closely on the margins. Because when you think about it, that's how all their Super Bowls were won.
Right.
It was Adam Vinatieri who is also on this Hall of Fame ballot, and I think absolutely deserves to be the next kicker into the Hall of Fame because they don't win those games without Adam Vinatieri lining up and kicking game-winning field goals.
No question.
So are we going to credit the special teams coach? Are we crediting the guy who actually had to line up and kick the ball through the upright?
Well, my point is we credit both. And it's weird to me that tomorrow night there's a very good chance, even though Peter King says, you may have heard it in the update by Marco Belletti, that he's skeptical that Eli's going to get in first bout. We'll see.
That's going to be no really idea. Odd with Eli hosting.
No, I know. He's hosting the NFL Honors tomorrow night, which is where they make this announcement. And yes, it will be awkward if Eli's there and it's like, oh yeah, you're not getting in. And by the way, if he doesn't get in this year, he may struggle because next year Drew Brees is eligible. I think both guys are Hall of Famers.
They definitely are both Hall of Famers.
I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing that it is odd to me that Eli gets in and Tom is still waiting, and God knows how long Tom's going to wait, because when I view that Giants success, and I was here talking about it every day with Joe, and why I say that is because I remember Tom Coughlin being fired 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
He was fired 150 times by all of us. That matters.
But that's also New York. That's also
just
the rhetoric that happens in a town that is frustrated by not winning championships. I'm not saying being successful. I'm saying not winning championships.
Yeah, okay.
They will want to fire you. You can be good every year and not win, and they want you done. They want you gone. Look at the Yankees. We talk about this every year.
I get it. I get
it. Yankees. And so that's a product of being in this town.
And he dealt with it.
Of course he dealt with it, because
obviously
he didn't care.
Well, good for him.
I mean, it's like you have a thick skin. Is it affecting your daily process? What, I don't know, Joe beat writer is writing about you? No. Or Joe fan is writing about you? Absolutely not. And so the fact that he was oblivious, not oblivious, but let's say deaf, he just let it fall on deaf ears, that's a credit to Tom Coughlin, because not a lot of coaches can handle that.
Mm.
A lot of coaches, and we've seen them, right? We've seen them. They start listening. They start being affected by negativity. They start being affected by what people say, and they get pissed off about it, like it has anything to do with anything. But it changes their emotional impact,
you know,
on their team and on their perception and their market. So I give Tom credit a lot of credit, because he didn't care.
No, absolutely. It's funny. I listen to everything you say, and during the course of this conversation, and I admit it's sort of awkward, right? Because why are we picking between two great people? I mean, two guys who are Hall of Famers, two guys who are legends. They brought two championships to this town. I'm not picking between the two of them. I'm merely saying, boy, you know, I look back on this. Tom Coughlin, I almost give him a little bit more credit, and I'd want him in the Hall of Fame before Eli Manning. But one thing I don't know, because I'm not a player, is how much coaches impact players, right?
And
you answered that.
They impact you a lot.
And you know what you said? You said it. Your words. It's very interesting. You said, I was a good player, but Tom Coughlin helped me become a great player.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
Doesn't that prove my point? That's the impact of coaching?
Yeah.
And so that's for you personally, which I respect. Isn't that the same with Eli Manning?
Yeah, but I
can't. What is he without Tom Coughlin?
But it could also grind it, like, down. I mean, who did it? It was actually Gerald Ingram, my running back coach.
Right, right.
Right? And who opened holes for me all these years? It was Snee and Deal and O'Hara and all those guys, right? Richie Soyberg, Kareem McKenzie. And why were they so good? Because of Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach. Like, when you start thinking about all of these things that make an individual great and Hall of Fame worthy, it's really hard to just pinpoint it on one person.
No, I agree. And that's why I think when we talk about coaches, at least with me, he's the head coach. And when you're the head coach, you're in charge of everything. It's like a president, so your entire administration, right?
Right.
So I kind of view it that way. And I wonder, and I know we'll never get the answer to this, what is Eli Manning if he isn't drafted by the New York Football Giants and coached under Tom Coughlin and have the teammates he had, including yourself, by the way? Mm-hmm. What is he? What is he? And that's why I put Tom first. Sean, you with me on this?
Absolutely not. It's Eli first. And I love Tom. And this is not, I hate when we do this and it's like, acts like it's not a knock on Coughlin. For everything Tiki said, Tiki played for the man. I understand all that. Here's the truth.
Oh, he was a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But he helped make you great.
And I am sure he helped make Eli great. But the truth is, Evan, this is the nature of the sport and the nature of the beast. He was a great coach in Philadelphia, a great coach with Alex Smith. Was anybody calling Andy Reid a Hall of Famer before Patrick Mahomes got him Super Bowls?
That's a good point.
No, they didn't. Bill Belichick, we understand the Cleveland point. What was he when Tom Brady left? Still a really good coach. Got Mac Jones to the playoffs. The Super Bowls with Tom Brady matter.
Hold on. I want to count to this real quick. What was Mark Brunell without Tom Coughlin? Because I saw a team go 14-2.
Yeah.
I saw a team go all I think it was the AFC Championship game.
No doubt about it. My point is,
twice. Okay.
Mark Brunell, very good run.
Is Mark Brunell a Hall of Famer?
No. This is my point.
Okay.
Tom Coughlin got with Eli Manning, who had so many more skills and everything else other than Mark Brunell, and it elevated what Tom Coughlin could do as a coach to coach a championship team. It is not fair the way the Hall of Fame is structured and kind of appreciating coaches beyond winning the Super Bowls, so that is part of the reason. But the truth is, this is, and really during his whole era, a quarterback-driven league as much as it is with the teams. And all of these coaches get their rings and get elevated if they are matched with the right coach that I'm sure, or the right quarterback, which I'm sure they coach up. Tom Coughlin is not a Hall of Famer without Eli Manning. We'll never know if Eli Manning would have been a Hall of Famer without him. But I asked you, Evan, last week, with the Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, you agreed with me that, hey, I don't think it would have worked here with either of those guys, and Eli was perfect for New York.
I stand by that, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was only because Ben and Phil, they were just kind of
different.
They were kind of knuckleheady.
Kind of knuckleheady.
Eli was a even when he was a kid, he was a grown up. Right? He was 100% professional.
Yep.
From day one.
100%.
And I understand that's personality, and I'm not trying to say, you know, let's debate Eli talent wise, but the point is.
What is the point?
Are we having this conversation about Tom Coughlin in the Hall of Fame today if he doesn't win two Super Bowls because he has Phillip Rivers or Ben Roethlisberger?
So explain that one more time.
We're having the Tom Coughlin Hall of Fame debate because inevitably he ended up winning those two Super Bowls on top of what he did with Jacksonville, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
If he doesn't have those Super Bowls because he didn't have Eli Manning and he had Roethlisberger, Rivers, and those guys and the personalities flamed out, we're not even bothering to have this conversation.
If Eli Manning is coached by Robert Saleh, are we having the conversation about Eli?
That's also a good point.
It's a good point.
Thank you. I bow.
It's a good point.
It's why the Hall of Fame is so weird because you're standing on so many people's shoulders. When you get into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no doubt.
And there's so many people who are responsible for your path. And obviously I'm talking about mom and dad and high school coach and everything else. But just the people in the NFL that it takes for one person to be great is daunting, right? I'm talking medical staff. I'm talking, you know, coaches. I'm talking trainers, physical therapists, all of that stuff. So it's hard to pinpoint it, right? And it's hard to say that one guy's deserving without acknowledging all those other people that helped them. And especially in this case, as we're not pitting, but just talking about two of the most important pieces for the New York Giants over the last two decades, Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning, you can't really see them apart from one another.
Mm-hmm.
It was the perfect storm for success.
Agreed.
And they both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
They both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but on Thursday night, one likely will be, and the other one may have to wait a decade. So I hate to make it Eli versus Tom Coughlin, but it sort of is. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. There aren't many games, but there are 41 of them in Eli Manning's career where Tom Coughlin was not his head coach. And his career record was 20-31. Now, granted, that was towards the end of his career.
That's not fair.
Well, how's that done? That's not fair? That's unfair? Is that unfair for me to say that?
Yes, it is.
I'm just giving you
absolutely
numbers.
Absolutely unfair.
Why?
That was a disaster that Eli was trapped in.
Well, Ben McAdoo did a pretty good job in that first year. The second year is when things. Well, but things were going bad before that, in fairness. That season was kind of spiraling. And then they went out and drafted a fellow who some of you may have heard of. He's kind of taking center stage this week, Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And they still didn't have success. And so he finished his career, unfortunately, as a 500 quarterback. Tom Coughlin did not finish his career as a 500 head coach. To me, they are both Hall of Famers. And they both are a big part. You talk about the story of the NFL. How about the story of the NFL in our city? This is a city that doesn't win championships. We've gone a long time without winning anything. Though I do want to give the Liberty credit. They did win something. Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning were very instrumental in twice that happening. So I have immense respect for both of them. And sitting here on Sports Talk Radio, I remember taking overnight calls saying Eli must have been adopted because he's so bad. Like that was literally the opinions. He must be adopted. He's not related to Peyton. And like we said about Tom Coughlin, he was fired 800 times. And by the way, I'll raise my hand. I fired him 12 of those times. I was out here saying it like, well, you know
this
what?
This is pre-championship? Both. Both before and after.
Both?
Well.
You know what's funny about that, T? The first time.
But, everybody gets fired. You're hired to get fired.
Yeah, I think us saying or anyone saying he should be fired prior to them winning in 2007, okay, fine, makes sense. After they had won, same thing. After they had won a second time, I think I held off ever wanting him fired. It was he's coach for life,
well,
whatever.
You just couldn't. Once you've won two championships,
right.
It's kind of like, all right, just tell us when you're ready to stop coaching.
Right.
and we'll find someone else to take your job.
And obviously that's not how it ended. It ended awkwardly between Tom Coughlin and the Giants. I just look at what he accomplished here and the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame and Eli may be tomorrow night as a little bit of a miscarriage in justice. Now, I admit something. I put out a poll right before this show started because I wanted to get an honest opinion from the Giant fans. And I trust social media polls. I think they're very, very, very accurate. I'm taking a massive L because most Giant fans are saying Eli Manning over Tom Coughlin. 65% to 35%.
Yeah.
So I do not have an ally. Maybe Tommy Lugauer is an ally of mine. Hi, Tommy.
I want to go back to something. It's Eli for me, by the way.
And
I
think
because I think fans, for the most part, they see the player on the field and they go, Eli made the throw. We're not Tiki. We're not a player. So we don't realize what the coaching has to do with the players getting to that level, which leads me to something Sean said in the open, which was he was very subtle about it, and it was anti-Philly rhetoric.
Anti-Philly rhetoric. We're talking about Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin.
But he brought up Andy Reid was not a Hall of Famer before he met Patrick Holmes, which is a shot at his time in Philly.
I mean, they wanted him fired in Philly, too.
For sure.
He was not a Hall of Fame head coach. He was a very good head coach. He was a head coach that I would want hired for my team. But he's factually accurate that at that moment when he was moved, when they fired him, I don't think any of us viewed him as a Hall of Fame coach.
Fair.
Very good coach,
though. Is Patrick Mahomes having a great season for his standards?
No,
they lost how many games this year? One game.
Yeah.
They're always in the right place. They always have the right play call.
They basically gave up on the last.
Right.
Right.
Andy Reid has everything to do with why they win these close games because he is a great coach. So for Sean to say that it's Patrick Mahomes the only reason they're winning games is absurd.
He's also he's also the play caller.
Yeah. Right. I think not what I said either.
No, that's not what he said.
No, it's not. But it's also it's so challenging with head coaches because historically the head coach has not been the play caller.
Right.
But in the last decade plus or so, you're starting to see that because they get hired because they're great play callers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or they get hired because they're great defensive coordinators. It's how you find your way to becoming a head coach. And there's very few. Dan Campbell might be a recent example who didn't come to the head coaching profession with the Detroit Lions and to be like, hey, man, I'm calling plays or I'm calling the defense. I'm just a motivator of men. Right, I am a leader, and I'm going to lead these guys, and I'm going to hire the best people to do the offensive coordinating and defensive coordinating jobs. But it's few and far between anymore that you see that.
Yeah, no, I agree with
you. Because you don't get hired unless you're a great coordinator.
Right, that's usually...
Or a great defensive mind or so. So it's almost unfair in the development of the next great head coach. Because it's almost like they're required to be a great offensive coordinator or a great defensive coordinator.
And they don't have to be.
You know, absolutely don't have to be.
No doubt. And I it's funny. The Coughlin-Andy Reid comparison is actually interesting. Forget the play calling for a second. I'm just talking about what they accomplished prior to going to their second location.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid, similarly to Tom Coughlin, was pretty damn successful in their first place.
Absolutely.
Now, I'd say Andy was a little bit more successful than Tom. Andy obviously went to a ton of championship games. They went to a Super Bowl. But Tom Coughlin had a 540 winning percentage, whatever it was, got to two AFC championship games, and obviously was not a Hall of Fame coach at the time, but was a very good coach, much like Andy Reid was.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second location.
Yep.
That put them into that rarefied air.
I mean, the same could be said for Bill Belichick, can it not?
Well, it's funny. Bill made the playoffs, I think, once in Cleveland, but overall was not nearly as successful as Andy and Tom were in their first location.
Yeah.
You're right. It's the second location.
It's why there's always that argument for what we now would call the retread failed head coach.
Right.
Because you don't know what the second act is going to be like.
It could be better.
Absolutely.
And in Andy Reid's case, Tom Coughlin's case, and Bill Belichick's case,
yes,
it was better. 888-808-1019. Let us go to Jay on Long Island. How are you, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, Jay.
I think that, thank you so much. Hope you guys are doing well. So
thanks.
I think that the argument between Eli versus Tom Coughlin, I'm going to err on the side of Tiki here because there are things that the Giants specifically did in those championships that are uncoachable. If David Tyree doesn't make that catch, I don't know if the Giants are winning the game. You know what I mean? If Eli doesn't get out of that sack, I don't know if the Giants are winning the game. If Eli doesn't drop that dime from Manningham, I don't know if they're winning the game.
Yeah, in 11.
It's not discrediting Tom Coughlin, obviously. Exactly, yeah. I don't know if it's, I don't mean to discredit Tom Coughlin, but I think it's more on the player side.
You know what? I was thinking about this as you were explaining this. I am an IFO, but I realized my own bias. I have a bias in this discussion, and I'm identifying it. I want to explain it to you.
Go ahead.
And it has nothing to do with the New York Giants.
Okay.
It is not a bias for or against the Giants. Would you agree that I've watched a lot of bad football?
Yes.
Yes.
I happen to root for a team that's really bad, that for a decade and a half has been the definition of ineptitude. I've watched bad quarterback play. I've watched bad coaching. Right? Mm-hmm. All facts, right? I've laid them all out. I think my experience as a loser fan has led me to the desperation and need that coaching matters more. I watched Aaron Rodgers, as people have even said, have a decent year this year. Why did the Jets suck? They sucked Because they had terrible coaching. Yeah. Oh, you want to answer it?
I have a rebuttal, though.
Go ahead. Rebuttal?
Has Todd Bowles been a playoff good head coach with just decent quarterbacking from Baker Mayfield?
I don't think it proves anything because I think sometimes, to Tiki's point that we were just talking about, your second job is where you become better. Todd Bowles was not a good head coach here. I don't want to even evaluate Tampa Bay because to me it has nothing to do with what he did here. Yeah. He let a locker room crumble here. So I disagree with you, and I think my own experience has been, wow, I think coaching matters more. And I think that's leading to my bias of, you know what? What's Eli without Tom Coughlin? I don't know the answer.
It's hard because coaching is so, because we don't know from the outside looking in what's actually happening. And I'll give you a perfect example. And it's because this team is really good right now. They had a big win last night. Talking about St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
St. John's beat Marquette last night.
Yes, they did.
Marquette was the 11th ranked team in the country. Obviously, St. John's is right there at 12. But who knew what was going to happen? But when you watch that game, what you see is a team that is clearly coached to be a pains in the butt defensively, grinding. They're not always great. I mean, they were terrible from three-point range. They were terrible from the free throw line. But they grind their way to success, and it's because of a relentless effort that is demanded.
Yes.
By Rick Pitino.
Coaching turned around the St. John's program.
There is no doubt about it.
There could be no more obvious statement.
By the way, you knew that.
Of course.
We're coming in.
Wasn't sure how long it was going to take or how good they would be, but yes, it was going to happen.
You knew it last year when he called his team out and basically said, you guys suck, and I got to get better guys in here.
Right.
So he went and got better guys in there that would buy into what he was preaching. And so I think maybe it's the sport dependent on whether or not we're giving credit to the coach. But football happens so fast, right? The things that matter in winning and losing are so far removed from the coach's hands once the ball is snapped. If you don't have great players, you have no chance.
Mm.
I think the NBA, you can get away being really good with just above average players if the coaching is elite.
Mm.
I think about just going back to Virginia when they won the championship after losing the 1-16 matchup to UMBC. The reason they won that, and it's not because they had great players. I mean, DeAndre Hunter and Kyle Guy and those guys were on that squad, but they won because their coaching was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like, we're going to make you take a bad shot. Doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to take a bad shot because that's what we're coached to do. That's what Pitino is doing now with St. John's. And so coaching can matter. But ultimately, I think in a sport like football, it's the great players that matter more.
I watched the second half of the St. John's game last night, and I have to admit, I was very intrigued by Cam Jones, because Cam Jones is a guard on Marquette who's projected to be a top 10 pick.
And how did he do?
He got frustrated.
Exactly. That's what
he got put in jail.
Exactly.
And I walked away from it saying they defended him very toughly.
He could still
be a good fit at number 8.
That's great coaching.
Yeah, no, it was... It was certainly fun to watch. Hell of a win by St. John's. An electric Madison Square Garden, and it'll be very interesting over the next month or so. Let's go to Pete in Deer Park. How are you, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, I got two quick points. Tiki, you cannot get into the Hall of Fame fast enough for me, in my eyes.
Thank you. Okay? They don't like running
and number
backs.
Two, and two, that and you keep that crazy guy over there. You're level-headed. I think Tom Coughlin, he is like the president, and I'll put it in your terms as far as history, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
He is General Patton. He's the field. Eli is the field general. He's Patton, and Coughlin is the president. You don't even know who the president was, but Patton was.
Well, the reason I like your analogy, maybe not specifically, is Tiki's made really good points about what specific head coaches have done in terms of play calling or in terms of Bill Belichick's defensive game plan against the Rams.
Right, and that's what makes them obvious and probably immediate Hall of Famers when they're eligible.
Yeah, because we can circle it and said Bill did that. Or Andy did that. I don't want to penalize Tom Coughlin because he had a great staff and he was the general of the coaching staff he put together.
Right.
He's the head coach.
Yeah.
Here are the facts. Tom Coughlin was the head coach of a football team that beat Bill Belichick twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Now, you could say the same thing about Eli Manning as quarterback. Of course, I get that. But Tom Coughlin was the head coach of a football team that beat and, dare I say, outcoached Bill Belichick twice in winning championships. That's a big freaking deal.
Yeah, it is. But Doug Peterson also did the same thing.
Did it once.
I'm just saying.
Doing something to... You do it once, you're lucky. You do it twice, there's something there. And by the way, speaking of doing it twice, obviously today is the anniversary of the Giants doing it a second time. And we went into the WFN archives to hear what was said on this radio station after the Giants won the Super Bowl. So we'll take a little bit of a trip down memory lane.
Speaking of doing it twice, how many kids you got, Evan?
I have two kids.
Okay, let's go.
What does that mean? Like, what did you just prove? Did you prove something?
It's a theme of doing it twice.
Oh, doing it twice.
Come on, Evan. Just keep it punchy.
I don't know what he meant. I thought he was taking a shot at my kids or something like that. I'm not positive. We'll get back to your calls next at 888-808-1019. And Travis Kelce was put in a blender the other day. How does he respond to the tough questions during Super Bowl week? Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Before we get back to your phone calls, a little debate about Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin and all the Giants' success. Let's take you back to the Super Bowl, you know, where the Kansas City Chiefs are taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's a bunch of awesome storylines. I'm actually very pumped up for the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Saquon Barkley angle here in New York. But the other angle that's really taken over nationally are people being babies and crying about the Chiefs getting every call. Like, oh, no, we didn't get the call. So Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and I find this hilarious, were peppered with questions about the officials helping them out. So let's start with Patrick Mahomes, who's asked a very serious question about the officials and tries to give a very serious answer. Here's Patrick Mahomes at Media Day.
Patrick, for your whole career, you have had so many great people help you win. So who is your favorite ref?
That's hilarious. All the refs are great. All the refs are great. They do the best they can. Go out there and play the game the right way.
Is there one that you give a Christmas card to every year, possibly?
Not that I can remember. I'll have to talk to some of my teammates and kind of figure it out.
First of all, sometimes these questions can be annoying. That was awesome. I mean, can we all agree? Like, that was funny.
It's disrespectful as hell, but.
Is it?
I mean, who the hell they give credentials to these days?
But the best part is, and this is why I like Patrick Mahomes, like, there are moments where I'm about to turn on him. I remember when he cried to Josh Allen last year after a call went against him. Remember the offensive offsides call?
Yeah.
On Kadarius Toney. Mahomes was such a baby about it. And he came across really immature. And I thought that was the moment where America or even myself was going to turn on him. But moments like this is why you love Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's innocently trying to answer the question. I can't remember the last official I sent the Christmas card to.
Does he? I mean, does he even know? I know he knows their names, but does he know their home addresses to send them a Christmas card?
You tell me. You played in the league. You send the Christmas card
never,
to an
never. I never had a relationship with any of the any of the officials.
Maybe you should have been a quarterback getting roughing the passer penalties all the time. Now, the same person decided, let me play this game with Travis Kelce.
Mm.
It may have gone a little bit differently.
Travis, what do you love more? Taylor Swift or Phantom 15-yard roughing the passer penalties in the playoffs?
That's a good question. Anybody else?
Travis was pissed.
All right, that's a good question. Anybody else?
And that was, see, that one I think is more disrespectful. Because, A, you're bringing up his girlfriend, Taylor Swift. I know she's a celebrity.
All you gotta
girlfriend.
All you got to do is just say, I love my girlfriend.
Yeah, it's true. If you're Taylor, aren't you pissed about that answer?
Yes.
Like, why would you not answer
that? This is an obvious answer.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm not getting the penalties. That's Pat getting the calls. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, he doesn't eventually date Taylor Swift without the phantom penalties that got him the celebrity status yet.
Stop it.
Well, without those phantom penalties, I'm not a champion.
No, but Travis Kelce did express something that I think represents the entire Kansas City Chiefs. Because later on he was asked, hey, is there any question you would want to ask the media?
Mm.
You know, let's reverse this. Listen to what Kelce said, and I think this tells you all you need to know about what the Chiefs feel about this kind of talking point that's going on.
If I could ask the media one question, why are you guys leaning into this whole ref thing? You know what I mean? Like, why are you guys leaning into it?
Mm.
That's all I got, though.
Yeah. He's pissed about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think this is funny, and I admit it, and hopefully you got a good chuckle while you're in your car, but I also think it's ridiculous. Like, two things can be true at the same time. I think it's okay to laugh. Like, I love satire.
Right.
You can make fun of the president and still like the president. Like, that's the way I've always looked at things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it that way. Like, I think the agenda that some people have against continuing to cry and bitch and moan that the officials are in the pocket of the Chiefs, I think you're all a bunch of giant crybabies.
And yeah. it's also counterproductive because you're motivating the best team in the NFL to shut you
that.
Up.
But aren't you really? Always motivated during the Super Bowl?
Well, hold on. Michael Jordan, I took that personally. Sometimes you need that little extra to... I understand they're going for a three-peat.
I don't think this team needs any extra.
Though. Yeah, they're going for a three-peat.
But Travis Kelce, the reason he didn't answer the Taylor Swift question is because he didn't want to say anything dumb to give the other team a headline. I think he stopped himself. He's like, I want to crush the people that bring up the refs.
I don't think there was anything in that question about
the opponent.
The opponent.
Right, no, right? Not at all.
It was only about the referees and his girlfriend.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's any talking points or ways to pump up the other team. I also don't believe in that crap, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you a real reason why I don't believe in this. So the Giants played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and mm-hmm. Spygate came out. Remember
right.
that whole thing?
Right.
Spygate. And Joe had this opinion, and I totally understood because I agreed with him at the time. He said, you know what? I think this makes the game even more difficult for the Giants to win because Bill and the Patriots are going to have even more motivation, kind of like what you're saying, Tommy. Keep bringing it up. It's more motivation. And all week, I'm like, yeah, I could kind of see that. But then look what happened.
Right.
You can be as motivated as you want. I think anyone who's at this level is motivated. Mm-hmm. So I don't buy that at all. I think Travis Kelce.
I forgot that was the spike.
Yeah, you forgot, right?
Right.
There's a lot we forget about that.
It just went away.
Right. It did.
After they lost, it just went away.
I think Kelce is expressing enough media, enough talking about how we get every call, because the more you say it, the more you repeat it, the more people actually believe
it. Well, I think when it comes to media, what you expect from the legitimate media, the guys that are paid by papers and et cetera, that if you're going to throw an accusation like that out, there's going to be some kind of proof.
Right.
Right? There's going to be some memo, some conspiracy that's real, not some blogger pulling all 22 video and talking over it like he knows what the hell he's talking about. Right? That's the problem, is it's become a regurgitation of nonsense. Now, if you want to regurgitate actual facts and actual proof, that's one thing. But when you're regurgitating nonsense, it's really hard to take it seriously if you're a player.
Right.
And I think that's what these Travis Kelce in this case, but players in general, that's what they get annoyed with.
Yeah.
Mahomes, it's like, do you even know what the hell you're talking about?
The answer is no, by the way.
Exactly.
Mahomes was beautiful because he was just like, well, let me think about this. Yeah, I once sent one to Cleet Poyer the other day, and right. he said thank you. Like, Pat was totally trying to answer it, which to me is what makes him very likable. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. John is in Bergen County. How are you, John?
What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Haven't talked to you in a while.
What's up, man?
I have a question about Eli.
Yeah.
I used to work at the Meadowlands, and I'll tell you, man, he was a great, streaky quarterback. Streaky.
Right.
And he was great. Now, I have a question. And, you know, and I don't want to hear that another quarterback was in the Super Bowl and he took their place.
Right.
How many Pro Bowls did he ever did he go to that he was picked to
okay,
go to?
So I can
he never ever had a Pro Bowl year.
I can only answer that with officially he's a 4-time Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Drake May was a Pro Bowler this year. Does any of us count that?
Yeah.
So it is kind of a weird thing to look at, because I do think it's fair to say, TK, is that really a Pro Bowl when you were the fifth replacement?
Well, he was never the best quarterback in the NFL. He never won an All-Pro award. I don't think first or second team.
No.
But the Pro Bowl, I'd have to go back and look at those, because he made it 4 times, as Evan just said. But who was playing in the Super Bowl those years?
Right, so I'll give you the answers on the years he made it. He made it in 2008. That was the first time he made it. And that was the year where he actually threw the fewest interceptions in his career for any full season.
Right.
21 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Giants obviously went 12-4 that year. That was the Plexigo shoots himself year. I hate to call it that, but that's kind of what it was. 2011, year they won the Super Bowl, the anniversary today, he made the Pro Bowl. 29 touchdowns, 16 picks. Made it the following year in 2012, 9-7 season, very similar numbers. And then he made it in 2015, a year in which they only went 6-10. That was the Ben McAdoo year in which he was the offensive coordinator. And that was Eli Manning's best season statistically.
It was. Here's the thing. I look at that and I go, 4 Pro Bowls, that's pretty good, considering the fact that that whole run
two of the three Pro Bowl spots were always going to be occupied by Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
Hmm.
So you think of the other, I'm looking at the other guys. Basically, he rotated between him, Matt Ryan, and Russell Wilson.
Philip Rivers
spot.
Made it eight times. That's double the amount of Eli. Okay. And guess who was representing the AFC?
Brady and Peyton.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so fine. Let Philip Rivers go play in the Windy Meadowlands his whole career.
I knew that would come up.
Yeah.
And by the way, Philip Rivers is eligible for the Hall of Fame next year, along with Drew Brees. Drew Brees complicates things because, come on, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Isn't that one easy at slam dunk?
I was thinking about that. Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, I don't know anymore.
No, I understand. The Hall of Fame can be confused. The thing about Drew Brees
is confusing. It's so confusing to me. The issue with the Hall of Fame is that you're not given the ability as a voter to just put in who you think, who you objectively think. You have to be convinced.
Right. Yeah, that whole process is strange.
And I don't love that because it's who has the best story. Who can tell the best story?
I don't know what story Drew Brees is telling. I could tell you that statistically, he's far better. I mean, it's not even...
Oh, yeah.
Like, he led the league in touchdown passes like five times.
And he has more 5,000-yard seasons than I think all the other ones combined.
Yeah, like statistically, he's one of the greats of all time.
We understand that
but that's just stats.
Yeah, those are just... No, I admit it. He won a Super Bowl, won one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's enough for you, Sean, but he did win one.
No, I love that. And we are living in, and we have been for 20 years, and Eli was a part of this amazing quarterback boom with so much amazing quarterback play. Somewhere along the line, the anti-Eli Hall of Fame stuff, though, has gone from just appreciating how many peers of greatness had to... Like, we're making it out like he's Brad Johnson with two rings. You know what I mean? Like, people
have gone... He retired in top 10 in yards and completions and touchdowns and all those things. Yeah.
Everybody's just acting like, oh, it's just two Super Bowls. Like, he did statistically retire with pretty damn good stuff.
No, you're right. You're just
not as good as Philip Rivers and Drew Brees. That's all.
Evan, if you could start their careers today and the Jets could pick one franchise quarterback, you taking Eli Manning or Philip Rivers?
I would take Eli Manning because I know he can handle New York.
Okay.
You only hear, and then you're not the only one, what you want to hear. I think Eli's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I love Eli Manning.
Yeah, this conversation didn't start with Eli doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
No,
yeah,
for sure. It was Tom Coughlin should be there first, and then in proceeding to have this conversation, I'm reminding everybody that if he doesn't get in this year, next year, Philip Rivers is eligible and Drew Brees is eligible. That's all. Rivers is more complicated. We'll get into that in a few minutes. He's a little bit more of a complicated case. Right. Plus, more of your calls, Eli versus Tom Coughlin, and also Saquon Barkley said something, I hate to tell you this, Giant fans, that may piss you off.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.